I'm Isander.
And I am Coda.
And it's off with the elves today.
Off?
Yeah, they lost.
Goodbye.
They lost again. Hard.
See ya.
And today we're going to cover the Abhumans. All of them. So we have a lot to cover.
That we do.
There were 75 of them at some point.
75.
It's the Imperium, so there's not 75 that still exist. But,
I mean,
there are a lot of them.
What is the phrase about mutants? Is it on this mug?
We'll get to the phrase about mutants.
It's on the other mug.
Yeah, it's on the other mug. It's not on that mug. But what matters is we have a lot to cover, and we kind of have to get right into it, because we're going to cover everything from the massive giants who serve the Imperium, and they run around in testudo formation. That's like a fun. I love that. All the way to state-sanctioned catgirls, because it's 40K. They're canon, I suppose.
It's 40K. There need to be state-mandated catgirls.
I don't know if they need to be, but sure, why not? What matters is it is poll time, and with the death of the elves, there is a new challenger. Your options are Abaddon the Despoiler, the Eldar's Aspect Warriors, Gene Stealer Cults, and Space Wolves. I genuinely have no idea how that one's going to go.
That one's all random.
I will put my thumb on the scale and say this is our 10th or 11th poll, so if Abaddon loses and makes it to the loser's bracket, that would be the 13th poll. I'm not biasing this at all.
It would be,
but it would
very
be so funny.
It would be very Abaddon to lose these next couple and just pull it hard back in the 13th.
We've gotten lucky. The Demonculaba episode was episode 69, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, that was a thing.
That's disgusting.
Hey, what happened?
That's disgusting.
I don't control these things. They do.
That's disgusting.
You really do. So sound off in the comments. It's also okay to be a hater because I'm petty enough to count against things. So if you say I don't want to see this, you have now added -1 vote.
No more Abaddon the Armless.
We do also have a Patreon where you get twice as many episodes, access to the Discord, a monthly live stream, and a bunch of other perks with new ones coming down the pipeline soon. So if you want to get all of that and help us keep the show running, head on over to patreon.com/IsanderandCoda where you can get twice as much of what you already love and that sweet, sweet moral vindication that comes with doing the right thing. And now let us get to, well, it's true, we're not like Walt Disney.
No. Walt Disney.
In the grand scheme of things, we're kind of like a mom and pop operation. At least compared to Walt Disney
Walt
Corporation.
Disney. Look at how much money they rake in a year.
Oh, it's billions. Oh,
it's billions.
It's mind-numbing. let us get to the Abhuman. Quick and dirty is it's just a subspecies of humans. 40K is 40K, and I mean, even on our world, you see people adapt vaguely to their climate and to their environment and to the things they have to do there. That's just Earth. Earth is big, but the Imperium is a million worlds. You know?
There's a lot more room for things to happen.
The nicest thing about Earth is the gravity is the same-ish all over the place, and the climate highs and lows are not that varying. When you're dealing with a million worlds, there are planets without a star. But there are still people there.
There are planets where it rains 24/7, 365.
There are death worlds, which are a whole thing. So it is very easy to see how, even though they're all humans technically, they are, it's divergent paths of the same tree. Kind of like how your house cat is a branch of a tree that also connects to lions. And you look at the thing, and your house cat maybe gets to rent a brain cell once every month, if it's lucky, and lions are, it's a king of the jungle, dude. It's a whole different thing.
Have you seen lions behave when they're not hunting something down?
And that's what I was going to say. And then you see their behavior. You see lions around large boxes, and it's just a house cat that can kill you. You see tigers chasing laser pointers, and the thing I love the most about tigers is you get the thing wet and you realize it's a bodybuilder underneath. Like, of course, you look at a tiger, you're like, eh,
it's the house cat that you currently have sitting right next to you,
swole,
sticking its tongue out and looking at you like an idiot begging for food. Except it's on Tren.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at a tiger, and it's like, I mean, yeah, it's big, but you don't really comprehend it until you see the musculature of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, it bats me with a paw and my chest is now open.
Yeah.
My chest cavity is now just that.
You have a gasping wound in your chest.
Oh, yeah. So it's the same thing that happens in 40K. However, it's all over the place. And it's not just the traditional way things change, because in 40K, things can get tampered with. And they get tampered with regularly. Everything from the Imperium's proclivity, let's call it, to using war crimes on people. I was trying to think of any other way to couch it, but it's radiation and chemical warfare.
I mean, it's straight up what they do. They are not the good guys.
Yeah, and so that will obviously change a place's genome.
Let's just take a look at Chernobyl for a little bit and see what it's done to the animal populations there.
I think they've changed, but I don't know. I haven't done any.
I mean, I've heard that they've had two-headed anything coming out of Chernobyl.
Rad stags.
Brahmas.
Brahmin.
Jesus. Brahmin?
You can tell which one of us plays
Brahma is the stratification, socially stratified.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brahmin is the
Fallout thing.
Yeah. To be fair, don't they both have something to do with cows?
Well, Brahmin are two-headed cows in Fallout. We're getting into the weeds here. What matters is radiation changes your DNA. You don't want to be around the stuff. Not great. Zero out of five stars. There is another way things can change, and that is directly. This is one of the more contentious topics here, because there are some people who would classify space marines as abhumans. I'm not going to weigh in on that debate, but I could see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You look at the distance between a space marine and your human is the difference between a house cat and a tiger.
I can see the argument. The argument can, in fact, be made.
The argument could be made, and if not for them, then definitely the Primarchs and the Custodes. The argument could be made.
For sure, the Custodes. Sure.
Well, the Primarchs are weird warp stuff, so.
Well, yeah, and the Custodes are humans genetically tampered with to get to their, like, max peak performance.
So the Imperium does toy with genomes quite a bit. So there's some people who argue that. The far, far more common reason, and the heaviest defender, is the warp in general.
Yep.
Because whole planets just sink in there sometimes. And when they come out, everyone has a third eye now. And that's how life is.
They just come out looking like the mutants from Futurama.
Yeah. There is a long list of abhumans, human variants, mutants, genetics cousins, aberrant humans, whatever you want to call them. It's just human slightly shifted. And they all exist in the 41st millennium in various population groups. Some were just one-offs that were completely yanked off stage the moment they arrived. Others are entire worlds. And those are the ones we're going to be covering today, because they have whole worlds. They have, like, neat scientific-sounding names, because 40K is real specific. Like, I'm talking, like, Homo sapiens sapiens levels. I mean, that's what we are, but, like, 40K made one for each and every one of them. And you're gonna hear some of them, and you're going to think, that took about 2 seconds to come up with.
Well, if I remember correctly, the scientific taxonomic name for a bear is bear, bear, bear.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. To be fair, I bear, 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 I know exactly what that is.
That is a bear.
Mm-hmm. You yell that while you're running in the middle of the night. I know the exact threat you are dealing with right now.
No, it's not bear, 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 but it is bear in, like, Latin and another language, mm-hmm, three times repeated.
I think that's my favorite thing about bears. This could not be true. Fact check me on this. If I remember correctly, the actual term for bear was lost, and it's just an old English word for horrifying thing.
Because you see accurate. That running at you.
Accurate.
Accurate.
So they do have mostly scientific sounding names too, and we will touch on those. They do not have the best quality of life, generally speaking.
Again, this is the same empire that is just like, kill the mutant.
Well, they have the mantra, burn the heretic and purge the mutant.
Yeah.
Being an abhuman is a raw deal. Mm-hmm. Nobody in 40K has it. Well, some, if you're wealthy in 40K, you have a good standard of life.
Great life.
If you're not wealthy, it varies. It could be decent. You could just be a street sweeper in a nice corner of the galaxy. You could be born in the basement of the sub-basement of sub-sub New York. And that is a hell you do not want to exist in.
That is awful.
Abhumans do have it the worst. Like I said, there are 75, well, not the worst, but they have it pretty bad. There are 75 species that we know of. We're down to 20-ish. The rest have been driven to extinction. And the only ones that are still around, you will notice a trend, are the ones that are useful to the Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
They are rarely considered full citizens, and most people don't like them. Because 40K society is a bitch wit- It's a bit witch hunty.
Yeah.
And so, oh, that guy's a third eye. Bad omen, kill him. A big part of this is because, and a big part of why it's so, witch hunty is education is not well spread out.
They dropped out mid-middle school.
Yeah. And so you will not explain to anyone how, no, that's just a human variant of a human variant, and this is how they got that bad, because this planet does, no, they're not going to bother. That is clearly an omen from the Emperor. My planet will burn if I let you live, so let's fix your existence, because that's the problem here, clearly.
I don't know, medieval peasants get really weird about connected versus separated earlobes, and you just have to explain to them, no, it's just a dominant versus a recessive gene.
Yeah, you're not going
to
do that.
Some people just have a dislocated, or like a disconnected earlobe, some people have an attached, yeah. It doesn't mean anything, and they're like, no, that means they're a witch.
Yeah, yeah. It's super easy with the Imperium to get wrapped up in, because, I mean, Space Marines do nothing but take wins, dude. It is really easy to get wrapped up in that when you just see Space Marine on the cover after Space Marine on the cover, and they're just wiping the floor, and then you look at the quality of life they leave behind, and you're like, oh, well, that's why this has the tagline of the most brutal regime imaginable. And that says a lot, because we've had some sketchy regimes. Just in memory, there are some sketchy
in
ones.
In real life, there have been some very sketchy regimes.
And so imaginable is tough. The darkness really comes front and clear when it comes to the Abhumans. They serve a very good foil to, like last week's topic, Caiaphas Kane, where it's a super-duper likable person, and he's winning constantly, and it's so much fun. And then you look at everyone else.
I mean, look at his best friend, the stinkiest man. If it wasn't for Caiaphas Kane, he would continue to be a loner, the stinkiest man, barely talking to anybody, just rotting away in the frozen hellscape of whatever planet he came from.
Yeah. To be fair, Jurgen likes his gig. He truly does. He does not do this out of any other reason than he truly does love this. So that's different. Things were better under the Emperor. Like, pretty much. I mean, that's how the Imperium is. You could throw a dartboard at a problem, and it was probably better under the Emperor.
He was not doing the best job of dealing with the whole weird that everybody's getting up to in the Imperium nowadays. But
well, he
was doing something.
He was just as authoritarian as the modern Imperium, but it was backed with knowledge. Whereas the current Imperium is backed by a profound want to burn it all, actually. So a lot of the time, he was pretty fine with Abhumans because he saw, oh, this is immediately useful.
He knew what the Punnett Square looked like.
Oh, for sure. That dude, genetic meddling was like his hobby. He would tinker with genomes the way you tinker on your car.
Look at his kids. That's just a long-term project of what can I do with this?
And so in the time since, it's gotten real bad. With some of the most zealous factions in the Imperium, if you told them right now, today, kill every mutant, they will do it. And it does, and you're going to hear how important some of them are, and you'll realize how crazy those guys are. And that's I like the sisters. They fall in that camp. I like the Black Templars a lot. You tell them to slaughter every mutant. They're doing it. With a smile on their face, they're doing it. So there's no better place to start than the most important ones. And the ones you're going to recognize immediately, you, because you're a big Dune fan, and that is the Navigators.
The Navigators.
Yeah, for all the scientific names, I'm just going to do my best impression of Sir David Attenborough, because I got to have some fun with this. So they are known as Homo Navigo.
Very creative.
Told you can figure this out.
I'm going to guess that they do the same thing that the Navigators in Dune do.
What do the Navigators in Dune do, Coda?
They snort a lot of space cocaine, and it allows them to see through time. And so they can navigate through space and time to figure out what direction their ship needs to be pointed in.
You figured it out. Congratulations.
Sweet.
They have a third eye that is quite literally there, and it lets them look through the warp. So there's no drugs involved.
Less space cocaine and more just metaphysical LSD.
No, they just kind of live that way. These guys are it's heavily argued that they were tampered with, because it's such a useful trait to have that this almost feels like, oh, you could have locked some people in a cage and made a Punnett Square to make this happen. There are planets that disappear into the warp, so could be natural. Probably not. Way too useful to be
natural. Knowing the Imperium, probably not. They just forced it.
They themselves keep their own origins very mysterious. But, like, come on. I can tell when something is purpose-built. I don't need to know, like, oh, this is what... No, I know why you exist. I know exactly why you exist.
You get people through the warp mostly safe and sound.
Yeah. Don't look into the third eye. It will occasionally just make you go crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, don't do that. And they use it to look for the Emperor's light in the warp, and then they get places. You can, fun fact, you can navigate without them. So much harder.
Yeah.
So much harder. The success rate goes from whatever it is now to like 5%, which is unacceptable. It's possible. It's not worth the risk.
It's almost. you are vibing out a navigational chart.
These are the ones so useful, even the Black Templars and the Sisters just...
grit their teeth in Barrett. Okay, fine, I guess.
But to be fair, if somebody from the Emperor's Palace came down and said, the Emperor wills that they no longer exist. Oh, they'd do it. They'd do it in a heartbeat. We'll figure it out. The Emperor's will knows all.
5%? I can take those odds.
Oh, well. They have accrued quite a bit of power because of their usefulness in almost everything. From trade to war, you need a guy to get you there. So they have these houses and nobility, and they have like a special edict from Earth itself. And so navigators are pretty untouchable. They are pretty untouchable. Unless you catch one like with a demon. And even then, fun fact, they tend to self-regulate. It's kind of Game of Thronesy where, oh, that guy was caught doing that. He was found mysteriously dead 5 minutes later.
Don't make us look bad. We're on thin ice. Yeah. Don't make it worse for us all.
Exactly. They rarely go traitor. And if they do, again, mysteriously they passed. How did that happen? And also because natives of the warp don't need them. I'm native.
They just... they're already insane from warp exposure.
Yeah.
They almost already know how to navigate
almost
the warp.
No other faction needs them but humans, because everyone else can get through just fine. So they tend to be pretty loyal, if only because, I mean, the paycheck must be biblical.
I mean, also, what else uses warp travel?
A lot of things.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of things.
The Eldar have the Webway.
Yeah, which is technically warp travel.
Technically-ish. Do the Tau use warp travel?
Oh, God, no. They're the slowest to get anywhere.
Yeah.
But they also get there every time. That's a big deal.
They have a 100% success rate.
Even with navigators, there is a failure rate.
Yeah.
So.
And that is if they turn, what are they called, the Geller shields on?
Yeah. Moral of the story, nobody really wants the navigators but humans, and they quite like their deal. They tend to get really, really weird looking. They tend to get riddled with mutations. Sometimes they get translucent skin. Sometimes their eyes just go full, like, demon black. It could be anything and everything. And they can live to 400 years old. So these guys have seen some stuff. Their mutations get worse and worse the older they get. And eventually they will just kind of enter that area on Terra where they all are, called the Navigator's Quarter, go underground, never be seen again. They'll never see the light of day again.
I'd imagine all of the warp exposure leads to the random mutations. It's just... they're in and out constantly.
That, or it's like a Habsburg situation where the only way to get a navigator is to, you know, have two navigators together. And so it just gets...
a mommy navigator and a daddy navigator love each other very much.
And so there's no genetic variance in their pool. And before you know it, you wind up with a great big jaw. So that could be why. It could be the warp. It nobody really
Maybe.
Knows.
Why not both?
Why not both? Moral of the story, they get webbed feet sometimes. And
so they really go down the dune route. They're starting to turn into fish.
Yeah, and they have these, like I said, political houses going on. There's a lot of, it's if you want political intrigue, these guys have a ton of it.
With them living to 400 years old, I'd imagine they have political dynasties running in the background.
Yeah, they do. There are whole navigator houses. Wealthy ones. Very wealthy ones.
Yeah.
The next ones, the Gland Warriors.
the what?
And the Afriel Strain. Like I said, some things are man-made. These two are man-made. They were made by genetic tampering, but not in the way like a space marine is made where, okay, we need to increase lung capacity, throw a third lung in there. Okay, well, one heart doesn't beat fast enough. Two of them beating in like a syncopated rhythm should do it. That is stupid, but it makes some sense.
Yeah.
These guys were more, how many glands can we cram into a human being? And the answer was quite a few, actually. Quite a large number.
Congratulations, you now have 5 spit glands.
I can't control the saliva coming out of my mouth.
It's borderline that useless. It's like 10 adrenaline glands. Yeah,
you're kidding me.
Imagine if you had, you know the way, like, if a dad walks in and their kid is pinned under a truck, he'll be able to, like, squat it. Mm-hmm. Immediately blow out his back in the process and probably, like, just decimate every joint in his body.
Yeah.
But he'll be able to move it.
Because that's how adrenaline works.
Yeah, the human body is actually capable of quite large feats of strength. It just limits itself because
if you do that, you're going to self-destruct.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain you could bite through your own fingers if you wanted to. You just don't.
But, I mean, okay, don't bite hard. Try it now.
Don't something tell people to try.
Something in your brain is going to tell you, don't.
Moral of the story is, you don't hit things as hard as you could, like, rip apart your muscles, unless you're really, really, really jacked up on adrenaline. Then, No holds barred. These guys have 10 times that amount of adrenaline going through them. So, I mean, I wouldn't really call them, like, human variants, more just human unfortunates.
Here's what would happen if you used 100% of your muscle fibers.
It's that thing I mentioned where, with the Olympics, you know what the maximum a human body is capable of, but we do not know what a meth head is capable of.
No, you know what an athlete, a fully trained, perfect athlete is capable of. You don't know what the human body is mm-hmm. capable of.
This is an attempt to find that out.
Yeah.
And also because, you know, Space Marines aren't the most stable things, so people have been trying other ways to skin that cat.
Yeah, figure out, how do we improve this? Mm-hmm. Maybe just by a little bit.
And the one that is most similar to that is the Afriel strain, because these guys were created by taking basically the DNA of every guard hero ever.
And just mashing it into one person?
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, imagine if Caiaphas Kane, Sly Marbo, Space Alexander the Great all got jammed into one.
All of them just jammed into one thing.
Every single important historical figure just put into one place. And it is really cool. They are very useful, actually. Somehow, I suppose military tactics run... It's a genetic trait. I don't know, man. Listen, we're getting real pseudoscience.
It's 40K. It works. Yeah. It just works.
Yeah. They all turn out albino and hilariously unlucky. Comically unlucky. I'm talking lamenters levels of just this goes bad no matter what.
They fully, like, nuclear Gandhi'd. They got so good that they looped around to the other end of the scale that they got bad.
Yeah, maybe the warp directly hates them. Maybe the Emperor directly hates them. What matters is Murphy's Law is in full effect whenever these guys are around. So they'll win victories, but inevitably they will die young, and we're not sure why this keeps happening.
Just because, why not?
I like those two specifically because it's super easy to forget how big the Imperium is and how you look at most of the art. Again, you see Space Marines all the time, and you think this is where all their bets are, but no. No, it's not. They still want to survive with or without the Marines, and so other people have been trying other things far less successfully.
They experimented a little bit, and now we have Johnny over there with 10 spit glands.
Yeah, it, like I said, it's not all useful. It's really not all useful, but it's cool. It's really cool. Next ones on the list are Goliaths.
Goliaths. I wonder what these guys are.
And Scalies. Not like that.
And what?
Not like that.
Okay. Okay.
You get your jollies? Listen, okay, here. I'm just going to level with you. I have fully submitted to whatever art you choose to put here. I have no idea what's coming.
I'll be dead honest. Every time I've tried to look at abhuman art, even for just the pole images.
Oh, no, for the Scalies.
It's not a lot.
Oh, no, it's for the Scalies. I dread what you're going to put up every time I say that word. What matters for them is they're basically just an entire species of killer croc. It's actually pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool. They get the whole, is it geckos? Yeah, it's geckos, where you could hack a limb off and it'll come right back. But
I think it's geckos.
Yeah, it's the whole detachable
At least
tail
with
thing.
The tail.
Yeah. But for them, it's hack their arm off. It's going to pop right back in no time. It's really cool. They live in this massive set, because 40K is so big, you can have subsettings within the subsetting. So they're from this subsetting within a subsetting within a subsetting that is a really, really densely packed hive world. And so it's kind of like having New York with gator people. And that's so cool.
New York.
I don't think New York has gator people.
Well, they have gators in the sewers.
Have big rats, like yeah, but football don't sized they also, rats.
There's the urban legend that they have gators in the sewers. Yeah, but sewers. I don't think
they actually have gators.
And in who the knows? They might have gator people in the sewers.
Okay,
too.
Sure. New York gator people. That's what they are, basically. it's a very fun kind of slice into your average hive world because you don't. There's too many hive worlds to cover. There's too many. It's just a mess. They do a good job there. Next up is Goliaths, who... Yeah, do you want to take a guess at what they do?
Get real friendly with somebody named David?
No.
Oh.
They were created solely for manual labor. And not the willing kind.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a hive world. There are ruling classes, and they need heavy stuff pushed. So...
and I can't do it myself.
So they basically designed... the male version of a U-Haul truck. And so it's very big, it's very strong, and it's very, very loyal. They're actually raw, bigger than Space
Marines.
Have
you driven a U-Haul truck?
Never.
Pardon my French, those f***ers ain't loyal.
there goes any U-Haul. I'll need to move at some point. And if that black... Whatever. What matters is, if that blacklists me from U-Haul, I'll be upset. What matters is they're grown in vats. They're vat grown. They're much bigger than, well, not much bigger, but they're bigger than Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger too.
Bigger than Space Marines?
Stronger too.
Huh.
Yeah.
I imagine, but without the whole brains of the operation that makes this work.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course. It's a U-Haul truck. Why do you need it to think? Like, I don't need a self-driving U-Haul truck. I just need a U-Haul truck, dude. They literally have a chip put in their brain that just downloads all the stuff they're going to need to do. So it's like, okay, congratulations, you are born to move luggage. This is everything you need to know about moving luggage. Boom. And they have very, very short lifespans. I'm talking like your dog may outlive them.
I'd imagine. What's the name of that one 8 foot tall dude that lived in like the early 20th century, who only lived 27 years because we discovered when you're that tall, your body can only last so long.
Well, in this case, they didn't even care. These things are not made to last. They are more disposable than your dog. It is quite literally just...
My dog isn't disposable.
It's just labor. They don't care. I don't mind at all if it dies in 10 years. It doesn't matter to me. I can get a new box mover. Especially when you consider that the next box mover is going to have all the information of the previous box mover, so there's no even transition period.
Because they're just going to have a chip downloaded
into
their head.
Yeah, it's super convenient. So they, like I said, abhumans have it rough. Next up is the Beastmen. 40K has them too.
I wonder what these guys are.
Well, the scientific name is Homo sapien varietus. Varietus, I think. One of the two.
It's since it's Latin, it's probably varietus.
Yeah, right.
Varieties. Yeah.
It is. Some say they are a dark age experiment. Some say they are just chaos shenanigans. What matters is they are real and stable, and they come in every shape and size. It wildly varies.
So we're not talking just like a cat ear guy. We're talking like, oh yeah, that dude's like left and right hands are like 25 and 50% bigger than your average human's hands, respectively.
Yeah, they tend to have horns, hooves, like, you know, like knees bend backwards. I forget what the scientific term for that is. Digitigrade. Yeah. They have knees that bend back. Whatever could happen does happen with them. It's really wacky. And the Emperor did not mind using them because they're fantastic shock troops, and that guy has claws. Useful. Vaguely useful.
Don't the space wolves use these guys too?
It's a different thing.
Just because wolves...
Don't put your thumb on the scale. We'll see. What I will say is there are no wolves on Fenris. You'll get that later. You'll get that later. Nowadays, things are much worse for them, and they are this close from being classified as another alien race, which would mean they would join the other 70 that did not make it.
Yeah.
So most of them right now are in chaos. And there's a bunch of different variants. There are bird-like ones that serve Zeench. There are these massive cornate ones that like look like hounds coming at you. The Nurgle ones, are disgusting. And the slash ones are a different brand of disgusting. You already know the shtick there. Some are used by the guard. But again, it's mindless fodder for the Beastmen.
Yeah, it's very much so. Hey, you're a mutant. We're going to go. You're going to go soften the beaches.
Yeah. Although soften the beaches. I love that.
I'm surprised the Coronate Beastmen aren't like huge minotaur. Like,
you hit the nail on the head. There are minotaurs too.
Like, it seems like that would go perfectly with Korn's aesthetic.
It does. Minotaurs are their own thing. Like, within the Beastmen, you can have minotaurs who are massive and cannibals. And they just kind of serve chaos, generally speaking.
Yeah. And I'd imagine, though, Slaanesh seems to have like a weird crab aesthetic to all of their demons and demonettes. I'd imagine Slaanesh's demons look like the succubuses of The Witcher, but with, I don't know, chitinous crab legs instead of goat hooves.
They tend to get goat hooves, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they tend to get more goat stuff.
So they literally copy-pasted the succubuses from Witcher.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit.
Just like waist down goat hooves, waist up tits.
Anyway, ratlings.
We're gonna have move you on played to the Witcher?
We are going to move on to the humble ratling. That is 40K's Hobbits. I mean, like...
We love a good Hobbit.
Yeah, they are incredibly short. They actually have Hobbit feet. They get jiggy with it often. That's like a known thing. It's written about quite frequently, so you now know that. They don't like to wear shoes ever. And they are crack shots. And you may wonder, what planet would breed that combination of traits? And it was just a planet that was very compatible with life, apparently. That's all. It was just a nice planet where they didn't need to want for anything, and so I guess they went to full Hobbit.
They just
yeah. Apparently it's like rats where you blink and there's 100 of them now.
Yeah,
it's not, they are used very often.
The story starts as any good story should. Oh, no. With a hole in the
they're used. Oh, we're testing the limits today. They're used by the guard as thieves, lockpicks, pickpockets, really, really, really good snipers because they're hilariously accurate, and cooks because they are very, very, very good cooks. They will make you first, second, and third breakfast with ease.
Awesome. What's a second breakfast?
Yeah, they also...
They literally are 40K's Hobbits.
Yeah. Downside is they eat a ton. If I remember correctly, they eat about twice as much as your average guardsman, despite being half the size.
So they're 40K's Hobbits.
Yeah. Pretty much. You hit the nail on the head.
Copy paste.
Yeah. They are used as scouts sometimes because, you know, they're so tiny. It's like, you know the lay of the land, buddy. Go check it out.
I mean, that's the whole point that Bilbo was hired as their thief, is just like, oh, he's small and stealthy enough to get inside the dragon's horde.
Yeah. They also constantly backstab each other, and they are depicted as not great.
That's less hobbity.
Listen, if there is anyone who would get an unfair caricature in 40K, it would be the Ratlings.
Yeah.
So they do not have it good. However, on to the big boys from the smallest boys, the Ogryn.
The Ogryn. I know what these guys are.
They are them. Yeah. Popular.
I've played Darktide.
Darktide did a lot of this.
Yeah.
They were popular before Darktide, though. Because they are... You can't... It's... Who hates Labradors? That's my question. It's that level of how could you hate this?
They're giant Labradors.
Pretty much. They came from a very, very high gravity planet, which made them, you know... I mean, you look at them, you're like, yeah.
They made them both... The high gravity made them both physically and head-wise dense.
They shouldn't have been taller, if I'm... I mean, they shouldn't have been as tall as they are. If
but I remember they correctly, persisted.
They should have wound up dense, if that's how gravity works. You wind up shorter, not...
Well, it depends. If you persist, then, you know, you end up getting just like poof upwards.
It does not matter.
Look at the Elcor from Mass Effect, who evolved on a high gravity planet, and they just got large, and they walk on all fours.
Yeah, I suppose it's possible. I don't know. We don't have anything from high gravity worlds yet. What matters is it was a rough life. The Ratlings got worlds that were compatible with life really, really well. They got prison worlds.
Oh.
It's not great. They got tall, they got heavy, they got strong. Again, stronger than Space Marines.
Very strong.
Taller than Space Marines, some. The biggest ones. And not smart. Not smart at all. They are all claustrophobic. That is just a trait. They all have...
If I was 2 meters wide and 3 meters tall, that's an exaggeration, but they look like a 2x3 person, I would also be claustrophobic.
Yeah. And they are incredibly loyal to the Emperor. Like, the official, to give a sense of scale, the Imperium's official stance on things is every command comes from the Emperor, passed down through the chain of command. And every guardsman goes, yeah, yeah, sure, what do you want me to do? The Ogryn go, yes. This is the Emperor's will. And they carry it out with that level of passion. It is as if the Emperor himself spoke, because as far as they're concerned, that commissar spoke to that commissar, spoke to that guy, that guy, that guy, who spoke to a custodian, who spoke to the Emperor himself. So, the Emperor spoke to me. And he told me to soften that beach. And so they will do it, happily, with a smile on their face, despite the fact that everyone in 40K refers to them as fats, slobs, flabs, and stenches.
Ugh.
It's...
I get it. You have to love Labradors. And Ogryn, you know, they're... I love the Ogryn. The Ogryn are nice. But mm-hmm. that's the same logic as, you know, I may only be 5'4", but, you know, I'm 5'4.5". And if you round up, you know, I'm basically 5'5". And, you know, 5'5", again, let's round that up. 5'6". 5'6", it's halfway. It's halfway to 6 foot, so I might as well be 6 foot.
No. They're not that dense. They will at least accurately state their height, probably. Within an accuracy of 3 feet, let's say.
Yes, but I received an order from the Emperor directly.
But they're happy about it. Like, you don't understand. They will get armor that is a bunch of scrap metal welded together and tank treads because they're that big. Like, oh, God, we have leftover tank treads. Let's just drape it over that guy and have him go forward.
To be fair, that's just cool.
That is cool. And then they will get shields the size of them, and they will lock them together, testudo form.
Why do...
And walk forward.
Why do they
Because that's
need
the to... Emperor's will.
Why do they need to go testudo formation? I was going to say this earlier. Why do they need to go to testudo formation when they themselves as individuals are a testudo formation in and of themselves?
Because they also have a grenade launcher in each hand. So it's shields locked, grenade launcher poking, and they're just moving forward and firing.
I love
that. And that is a very effective combat tactic, because how do you deal with that?
How do you count over that?
Like, send a missile? That's your best bet.
Listen, the Romans had spears, but if they had grenade launchers, you gotta know. You gotta know.
I love the Ogryns, but they are so tragic, because... while they are happy, nobody else really likes them.
Yeah,
it's Lenny from Of Mice and Men. It's that kind of situation.
He has one very good friend, and he's very happy. But the rest of the town is weird about him, and so mm-hmm.
They existed during the Heresy, and they're deeply loyal to the Emperor. But they fought on both sides.
Mm.
How was this accomplished?
How did that work?
Easy. The traitor said those guys are the traitors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's how you got Chaos Ogryn. Or at least Traitor Ogryn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed.
Every order came from the Emperor. Horus himself told me this, so clearly the Emperor, they're the traitors.
Yep.
And to be fair to the Ogryn, there was a time period when... nobody really knew what was going on.
Yeah.
There were 5 minutes.
It was weird and
wacky. It happened to Space Marines, where they were like, oh, Dad would obviously be a traitor, so let me join the traitors. And then Dad wasn't.
We just covered Jagatai Khan, where we covered traitors who were just, you know, we're going this direction. This is what we think we
would
want to
do. Obviously, Dad would
want
to do this, and Dad did not. And it did not end well for those ones. So I'll be fair to the Ogryn. The best life an Ogryn can get is become a bonehead. Which is a...
a what?
A bonehead. B-O-N-E. Sorry. B.O.N.E. Apostrophe. Ed.
Okay. So bonehead but British.
Bonehead.
Bonehead.
And you want to know why it's spelled that way?
Why is it spelled that way?
Because it stands for the Biochemical Ogryn Neural Enhancement. Bonehead. They get a big chunk of their brain replaced with metal. And they get a Terminator eye.
Yup.
And these are the smartest Ogryn, i.e. the ones that can count to 20 without using their toes.
At what point do we just have orcs that aren't green?
Oh, we'll get to them.
Oh, so we haven't even gotten to orcs that aren't green.
That'll happen, I think, on their episode, because the Ogryn are for sure going to get their own Patreon episode. So that happens. They're very intelligent. They get a fully automatic assault shotgun, which is Ogryn proof. So often they'll fire it. I don't know how to reload it. Batter you with it. And it's just as effective.
It's a club now.
Yep. It is often used like that. They're not in combat, they are used in mines and other jobs where heavy, heavy lifting is needed. And they also get servitored.
They get, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not great.
No.
So they will get lobotomies and power fists because the Ogryn, it feels unnecessarily cruel to me. Only because an Ogryn was going to do it anyway.
Yeah, they were already loyal. They'd already...
Going to dig that hole. Yeah, sure. Maybe cutting their arm off and replacing it was going to make it quicker.
And then...
But you could have just told them the Emperor wanted to do that.
Chopping their brain out of it, out of their skull, yeah, and like putting a computer in it.
Making them a servitor just feels so...
It feels icky.
But also, they are Ogryn. They will jack up complicated... Really complex. The Mechanicus does this to them. And the Mechanicus gives very complex instructions. They don't have the time for this. Servitor him. Add him to the network. Much quicker that way.
Yeah.
And so that's...
I mean, I guess, but...
Mm-hmm. And there are some Ogryns that have aligned themselves with the Tau.
Really?
Yeah. It's O, like, you know the little, like, thing, the apostrophe?
Mm-hmm.
O apostrophe grins. Because that's how all Tau names are.
Because that's...
Like, O Shova. Yeah. Oh. So they become the O grins. And they get mech suit guns.
I love that.
I don't know how they operate them.
They're big. They're strong.
The Tau use Iron Man suits, and somehow they can just hand the guns to the Ogryn and they work. I have no idea how that works.
They're large.
But they do somehow. There are Chaos Ogryn too, but we'll cover those on their own episode. They're scary.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They're real scary.
I'd imagine.
And they are known as Homo sapiens gigantus.
Oh, yep. It does what the tin says.
Right. And those are the kind of the big major players when it comes to the abhumans. There are a bunch of minor ones, like the Nightsiders. These ones are, well, actually, the scientific name is Homo sapiens ternibus. You've played For Honor. You've heard that far too many times.
I have heard that. That, like, activated Black Prior flashbacks. That.
It's night in Latin.
Okay.
Yeah. Tenebris.
That activated flashbacks.
Yes, if you don't tell we play For Honor, I beat him constantly because he's not great at fighting games. That's neither here nor there.
I was a decent Nobushi, which I know is going to make people upset with me saying that.
Yeah, we're not getting into that. They have evolved on planets that are in perpetual darkness, which is really cool. Like exoplanets where they just got shunted from their star or their star died or any myriad of things went wrong.
It's just a wandering planet.
Yeah. And so they've managed to survive in the deep, deep darkness. They have massive eyes like deep sea fish and they can get bioluminescent.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
That's really cool.
That is so cool. Until you realize another way the Nightsiders can show up is if they just stay on the dark side of the planet. Yeah, sometimes 40K takes the wind out of its own sails, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you know, like the tidally locked planets where it'll just...
Always... There's a light side and there's a dark side.
Yep. Nightsiders.
That's...
Yeah.
That's silly.
We've covered these guys before, the Kin or the Squats, which I don't think they can be called that anymore. I'm not sure, actually.
That name seems like it's not okay.
Listen, I have no opinion on this. It's in the books, okay? So don't come at me. Come at GW.
That name feels like it's not okay.
That's what they were called. But that, you know what? What matters is their... I forgot about their scientific name. Homo sapien rotundus.
That also feels like it's not okay.
Yeah, they're considered abhumans, baby. It's just dwarves in space.
I thought we already had that with the Votan.
No, that's what the Kin are. The Leagues of Votan?
Kin. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Shorties? Shade, yeah. That's them. The vertically challenged, that's these guys.
Okay. I thought they were like the Eldar, where they're... I mean, yeah, the Eldar look like people, but they're not a mutation of people.
No, I told you in the... You can tell he doesn't pay attention sometimes. I told you, they're descended from humans.
My brain works in mysterious ways.
There's a lot of 40K I've put in there now.
A lot
of
40K.
So,
there's like an
entire, even I make stuff up
there's
sometimes.
There's an entire like filing cabinet in my head that's just 40K, and there's a SpongeBob in there going, ah! Every time a proper noun gets said.
Best thing you guys have ever done is just enable me to do this to him for hours at a time. Highlight of my week. Love it dearly. So you already know a ton about the kin. It's really... If you play Deep Rock Galactic, if you know dwarves, it's just future dwarves in space. They're really cool. They're all clones. And now they are. They didn't used to be. Before they were just, I'll be honest, dwarves in space. Nowadays, they've gotten a lot of cool stuff. They harbor these AI cores that are some of the most intelligent things in the galaxy, and they're getting dementia.
Which is, as we have seen in every sci-fi, AI usually does that, mm-hmm. and it's always bad.
Yep. It's like if Google had Alzheimer's. Actually, worse. Far worse. Worse than Google's
Alzheimer's. People don't like how rampancy was depicted with Cortana in Halo 4, but that is literally textbook how rampancy was defined in the media. It gets bad.
They're very cool. They were sent off to the harshest of worlds, and so they've adapted for it. They're really hardcore. They're very rugged. They have this... I described it as like the F-150 working man aesthetic, where like, you know what I mean? Where if there's any faction you would describe as Ford tough, it's these guys. They have unions. They're mostly laborers. They don't have white collar jobs. Blue collar for life, baby. The only way you become a billionaire there is with these hands.
Those TikToks or YouTube shorts where you see a dude in a construction hat looking at different OSHA violations, they are the OSHA violations.
It's so cool. Oh, I love... Well, no, they actually have good workplace safety. Even for their robots.
Because they treat their robots like people.
It's a genuinely good construction company.
Their robots are people.
Like, they are... So when the Tau first came out, to give you like a frame of reference, if you weren't around, they got panned widely because the whole thing of 40K is everyone's the villain. The leagues are getting that now a bit too because they're not that bad. I'll be dead honest. Compared to everyone else, they're doing pretty good.
No, that's what I thought when we did the VOTAN videos. Mm-hmm.
They're going to get dragged through the mud. Everyone does eventually, but
yeah.
So far, right now, no labor violations.
They're doing okay.
No. To give you a sense of scale for how good they are, if one of their mining robots gets stuck, they will stage a daring rescue for it.
Because, again, like I said, they treat their robots like people, and their robots are people.
They're part of the union, baby. It's the working man. I love them so much. Go check out that episode. It was so much fun.
For the working bots.
Mm-hmm. And the working bots, too. The best way to describe it is Deep Rock Galactic. I'd recommend that. And then... Without further ado, the fellas. Oh, nope, never mind. We're not getting to them yet. We're going to get into something that you're going to have a field day with the name. Oh. The subs. Just get it out. Get it out of your system. Just get it out of your system.
Where were the DOMs? Yeah. Did we not discuss them this whole time?
I expected this.
What's their mutation? Latex skin?
Not like that. They're not like that. Their scientific name is Homo sapien. Deformum. They're ugly.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's their mutation? They're just ugly?
Oh, God. They're hideous. A face only a mother could hate. It's not great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, a face especially a mother could hate.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
awful.
Yeah, they are constantly being tried. Like, they're so ugly, the church's side hobby is trying to purge them. They have it real bad. Can you imagine being that ugly? The Catholic Church is after you?
Listen, no other
reason than you have no jawline.
Listen. To people in the audience, I have also had body issues. I know everybody on the planet has had body issues before. The church has not come after you to purge you.
Yeah.
You cannot and probably don't. Absolutely not. Do not look that bad.
Yeah. No, not this bad. Like, they could shatter glass to that bad. And now to the felonids.
And now we can get to the cat boys.
Yeah.
Cat boys and cat girls.
Yeah.
They're real.
They are.
They're real.
They occupy this fun space of like 40K mermaids almost, where it's you know the way people would sell mermaid corpses back in the day? People do that with the felonids in canon. Except, like, you know, except for, you know, mermaids were, I believe, were they narwhal? The people mistook?
They were manatees.
Manatees, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people saw manatees, and dude, on sea, 30 days, like, you start seeing things, I'd imagine.
I think it was manatees and porpoises were the two ones that, like, yeah, did it hard.
But in this case, they're real. The felinids are real.
Yeah.
There is no art of them.
No official art of them, I would imagine.
There's no canon art. We know that they have cat-like traits. They're efficient killers with claws, as long as a man's forearms. However, this was also said by a guy who said all humans kind of look the same to him, so take that with a grain of salt. What we know for a fact is they are feline human in some capacity. GW has not had the stones to put out any art of them. That has not stopped the community.
Yeah, I was going to say, they'll just let the community do that for them.
And so you have everything ranging from just like, you know, Thundercats. Thundercats style of just like, oh, that's a Thundercat world, which is so cool, by the way. Like, come on.
I'd imagine most of it is Thundercats.
Most of it is not Thundercats. Most of it is the other end of the spectrum. Anime girls with ears. That is the other place they tend to be drawn. And most art lies somewhere in that spectrum. And since there's no official art, pick.
Pick. It's all canon. If nothing is canon, it's all canon.
Yeah. It's a real gray area, and GW is just kind of waiting. I mean, if they want to make money, I can tell you that no matter where they land on that spectrum, they will capture the suspiciously wealthy furry market, so. I mean, people underestimate the economic might of furries all the time, and it amuses me to no end. Because I was guilty of it too until I worked somewhere where I had to deal with it. It's like, oh.
Didn't you have to work with somebody who wanted their car paint to perfectly match the color of their fursuit? And then they paid the money to have that happen.
What I will say is,
suspiciously wealthy furries.
We're going to take a sidetrack here. because for those of you that don't know, Porsche makes very expensive cars. They do. It's egregious. It's a house on wheels. It really is. They have a special wishes department called Sonderwunsch. And what that is anything you want, they will make if you have the wallet. It really is just a test of net worth. They'll make anything. They'll wrap anything in leather.
Oh, hello, Porsche. Yes. You wanted to know what I wanted?
Oh, please don't.
I'm sure you read the email. I want those weird V-dub eyelash headlights on the 911. Yes, I know. No, but I want you to manufacture them. The ones I get on Amazon, they fall apart within like 10 days. Can I get you? This is German precision engineering. I know you can do good work. Please. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what all they've done. Only they have records for everything they've done, but it's some truly bespoke stuff. One of ones, pretty much,
One of one Porsche eyelashes.
For the very discerning customer. I know there is one rolling around somewhere on planet Earth with an interior that is color matched to someone's fursuit. That's not a joke. And if that does not tell you the economic might that they have, I don't know what will. Okay? I don't know what will. Just what I'm going to say is, do not be surprised if GW decides to take a side on this, if only for the margin. If only for the margin. But as of recording, there are... And that's not even that, too. Like, if you just Google right now, furry with car, you'll find, like, a furry sitting next to, like, an LFA or something like that.
And it'll be color matched to their probably
color matched
upwards of 20 grand fursuit.
Yeah, those things are expensive. God, those things are expensive. Yeah. It's a hobby. All hobbies get expensive over time. Just ask car guys.
It's a similar market to like the
actually, 40K is a fantastic example.
It's a similar market to like the mascot market. And some of those suits have AC in them nowadays.
Yeah, I knew the felonids would cause a detour. But yep, that's what happens. there are a few other sub categories. Like they're long shanks that are just humans. Low gravity world, so they got really tall and spindly. There's not much on them. There are pelagers who are just they come from underwater worlds, and so you would think that you get mermen and merwomen. You get ogryn with scales. Like, there's a few pieces of art of them. It does not look good. It's not.
Just ogryn with scales.
Yeah, it's not great. There are a few technicalities on the abhuman list. For example, psykers technically are a human variant.
Is the whole psyker thing a genetic thing, though?
However, it's... So you're a human, right? Now, human subcategory ogryn. So you're a human ogryn. You know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Psykers are weird because you can be a human subcategory psyker. Makes sense. You can also be an ogryn psyker.
Right? Yeah, so that's what I mean. Is the psyker thing a genetic thing?
It's kind of like an extra trait. I don't personally count it as full-bore abhuman, but it is... It is an aberrant human.
It seems like it's an extra trait that it's like you don't have a genetic disposition, or do you? Do you have a genetic disposition to becoming a psyker? Because from everything I've assumed, from everything I know, it's more like you've been void touched.
Well, it's complicated, and that's why I'm putting them in the same category as Space Marines, where it's a human variant.
Mm.
I don't think it fully counts as abhuman personally, but it is, you know, like aberrant
human. It is a variant of human.
It is not the default stock guy.
You can be human with the adjective psyker.
Exactly. Same thing for perpetuals, which for those of you that don't know what psykers are, wizards, space wizards, super simple stuff. The perpetuals, it's on the tin. Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good, in most universes, great deal. We'll never die of old age. It's not even like immortality in the bad way of eternally aging. Now you hit like 30 or 40 and then you stop. Forever.
Maybe even like 50 if you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Don't moisturize.
You just keep going.
Moisturize.
You just keep going. You will. It's normally a pretty good thing, except in 40K. Congratulations, you can regenerate from anything. You are a wonderful torture victim.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
You know, that makes sense in 40K. My initial gut reaction was, but then I'm like, this is 40K. Yeah,
it's 40K. It's totally 40K. Again, perpetuals. I hesitate to put them on the same list, but
most humans don't live forever and regenerate from a single cell.
Right? It's clearly not default human genome. Unless so there's like something going on there.
Deadpool's kid or something.
Exactly. So, and there's a bunch of other sub ones that have like a sentence. They're Neanderthals running around for God's sake, but I'm not going to highlight them because it's Neanderthals on a planet. Neanderthal. Come on.
We've already done Neanderthals before. Like, let's go back like 15,000 years.
Plant people, water people, like the whole nine.
I mean, plant people would be cool.
Yeah, but like, we don't know anything.
I don't eat. I photosynthesize.
No, but we don't know anything about them, so.
Well, we know that they probably photosynthesize.
A lot of these are just sentence in book, never touched on again. So that's why I'm kind of cutting them out. And that does bring an end. That is pretty much every relevant abhuman and abhuman-ish species in the Imperium. I have to turn it over to you. What do you think of them?
You know, I do wish there was more human mutation. Considering you're right from the very beginning, there are countless thousands and thousands and thousands of worlds in the Imperium, and that leads to so many different variations of like human adaptation, adaptive genetics. We don't know what like being out there could do to it. I mean, think of like something as basic as Wall-E, where people eventually the genetic disposition was becoming a blob because they were out there in space for so long that was just the adaptive evolution.
Yeah.
Imagine the creativity you could get up to of like, oh, here is this random world with all of these random traits. What would that do to a human being?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd love to see more of them.
I think we're going to see more of them, honestly. But for now, that is
because so far from that list, it does seem like a lot of it is, especially with like the ratlings. It does seem like, oh, here is like a
fantasy race.
Here's a fantasy race that we've now put in 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, while that's cool that we can still like meld our fantasy and sci-fi, because 40K does do a really good job of kind of mashing those together.
Mm-hmm.
I do think because it's sci-fi, and I've seen a lot of good sci-fi out of 40K so far, there's a lot of room for, like, here's some weird we could do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do really wish we get to see some weird later on.
I've been the nice thing I've been seeing them do is they've gone back and brushed up some old ones. Like, you know, the Leagues of Votan before they are that now. We're just kind of dwarves in space, moving on. They're really a footnote, but then they went back, brushed it up, made it really cool.
And they made them really, really good sci-fi.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. And, you know, they did their GW thing. They slapped it with a copyrightable name. They did their whole nine. I mean, that's like step one to bringing them back, let's be honest. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they went back and kind of brushed up some of these as demand kept going up. Because people are falling in love with abhumans.
Give me more plant people.
Cool.
Give me more plant people.
I personally would love to see plant people.
I want plant people, water people, rock people, fire people.
Or like, yeah.
Give me the elements, but people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that does wrap up this episode on the abhumans. Again, remember, you have your four options. Abaddon the Despoiler, please let him lose. the Eldar Aspect Warriors, the Space Wolves, and the Gene Stealer Cults. Those are your options. Let's see who wins. And as always, thank you for being you.